Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Jingle bells, jingle bells. Hey, does that cheer your heart? Or turn your stomach? This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. It's all about Christmas music in the next hour. We'll have medieval Italian Christmas music, courtesy of the vocal group Lionheart, and our staff's favorite albums of the year. But first, go to any store or restaurant this time of year, and you'll undoubtedly encounter Christmas music. A lot of it. One study revealed that shop workers could hear a tune like Jingle Bells up to 300 times before the season's over. For many shoppers, holiday music can energize and inspire feelings of warmth and nostalgia. Others can't stand it. So, does Christmas music make you happy or grinchy? We'll settle it with another edition of
Soundcheck Smackdown!
All right, Nigel Rogers is National Secretary of Pipe Down International, a British organization that's campaigning to put an end to background music. Jerry Grizzib, is the Seasonal Music Coordinator for WRST-FM, public radio at the University of Wisconsin, where he is known as Dr. Christmas. I wonder which side of the fence he'll be on. We also want to hear from you on our website and on the line. Do you like Christmas music? When you're shopping, when you're eating, out having a drink, do you like it at home? And if so, what do you like to listen to? Or has it all gone too far? Our number is 212-433-WNYC. And comments are already coming in on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Nigel Rogers in the UK, let me ask you first. Christmas music, heartwarming or stomach-turning?
Stomach-turning, definitely.
Why?
And drives people insane when they have to listen to it 300 times or even 100 times. And if you're working in a stall before Christmas, you may well have to listen to it hundreds of times. Jingle Bells and two or three or maybe four other tracks going round and round and round until they go round and round your brain like some berserk reindeers.
So for you, Nigel, this is not just you being Scrooge. This is
certainly not. I love Christmas. Look, I've been out carol singing recently, and we went from house to house around the little village I live in, and we sang carols, and everyone liked it, and then we went into church, and we sang more carols, but we're not forcing it on everyone again and again and again. It's the real thing. It's the real spirit of Christmas, the live spirit. I'm not attacking the commercial use of Christmas per se, although I think it has become too commercialized, but I'm saying we've got far too much endless music in stores, restaurants, bars, and about any public place.
Well, let me turn to Dr. Christmas. Jerry,
yes.
Heartwarming or stomach-turning? I mean, when you hear it all the time?
Well, the problem isn't so much the hearing it all the time. Part of the reason my listeners like my radio show, and they'll tune in for like 8 hours of Christmas music, is, well, there's a number of things that go in. First of all, it's the context. They're not hearing it in a shopping mall. They're not hearing it at the dentist's office. And second of all, it is not the same old recordings again and again and again. You'll never hear Burl Ives' Holly Jolly Christmas on my show. You'll never hear Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time. You'll hear recordings that you've never heard before. So it's not the music per se. It's the context, and I think partly it's the use to which it's being put. Christmas music had two major purposes before commercialization, and I think they're getting lost. And people are being driven away from Christmas music.
What were those two main purposes?
First of all, there's a very thin thread that connects us to the past centuries, and it's almost invisible if you go back 400, 500, 600. We, at Christmas time, it comes to the fore. We think of, you know, the wreaths and the trees and everything. They go back hundreds and hundreds of years, these traditions. And the music does, too. You look at some of these carols. Lo, How a Rose Are Blooming is centuries old. I mean, almost 1,000 years old. And then the other thing, aside from connecting us backward, it connects us horizontally. When do people most fondly remember singing Christmas carols? With each other. in families, standing around a piano, caroling like Nigel said, going house to house, something like that. That's getting destroyed by the use of the ever-present Muzak-y kind of Christmas music all over the place. People begin to hate something that they always loved.
All right. Nigel, Jerry makes a good point that, you know, Christmas music was supposed to connect us to our past and connect us to each other. In this age of commercialization, are there any studies that support the idea of playing Christmas music to this extent in the stores as a means to get people to buy?
Well, I think stores, particularly this year, maybe are desperate to get shoppers in. But I agree with 99% of what Jerry says. The one thing he didn't say is that people tune in to his station through their choice. Now, that's wonderful. Pipedown is not campaigning to eliminate background music. We always say we're trying to give people back the freedom to listen to it when they want to and not listen to it when they don't want to. Live music, music that's chosen, music that brings people together, wonderful, but music just as acoustic wallpaper or a misplaced commercial attempt to make you spend more is what we are objecting to. There are hundreds of types of Christmas music, from the great glories of J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio right the way down to, hundreds of things, all sorts of carols. And no one could possibly object to that if people are going around singing it together, making merry together. That's a real Merry Christmas. But if you've got jingle bells going around the store all the time, that's not real Christmas. That's pseudo-Christmas. It's anti-Christmas, really.
Well, according to ASCAP, the American Society of Composers, Artists, and Performers, the three most performed Christmas songs between 2000 and 2005 were these three, beginning with The Christmas Song.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
And that's the Christmas Song, Straight No Chaser's version of it. Another of the three most performed Christmas songs, and we'll hear James Taylor's version of this one, is Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He'll be making a list, checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
And the third of the three most performed Christmas songs here in the States, 2000 to 2005, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight.
That is Sarah McLachlan and her recording of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. So the Christmas song, Santa Claus Coming to Town, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, not necessarily these three recordings, but those are the three most performed Christmas songs. If you work in a store, odds are you will hear them many times, dozens of times, perhaps even hundreds of times during the course of the Christmas season. And that is one of the things that Pipedown International is campaigning against over in the UK. Nigel Rogers is their national secretary. He's with us on one side of our Soundcheck Smackdown today. Jerry Grzyb is the seasonal music coordinator. He is Dr. Christmas at WRST-FM and does all the Christmas programming at the University of Wisconsin's public radio.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
I like a lot of Christmas music. There is a lot of good seasonal music out there, really. And I can't imagine Christmas without it. But I think the problem many of us have with it is not the music itself, it's our lack of control over it.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
Well, that sort of goes back to what Nigel Rogers was saying before. It's not the music, it's the fact that it's sort of forced upon us. Nigel, I don't want to be putting words in your mouth, but that is essentially what Pipedown International is about, right?
Absolutely, that's it. It's a lack of freedom of choice, and people do feel tyrannized if they're working in a big store. They've got no control over it, or even if they're going out shopping. If every store and every restaurant has some kind of Christmas music, they develop an allergy to it,
right.
Which is terrible, because it's not just Christmas music, it's other types of music people start to hate. Really, if you force music on people, you're destroying their pleasure in, or you can destroy their pleasure in music. I'm not saying it happens to everyone, but the other point I'd like to bring up is a small one, but more and more people are getting hearing problems younger and younger without being stone deaf. And if you've got constant background music of any sort, it makes it very difficult for them to go around in public because they can't hear what's being said. In Britain, it's estimated one person in seven's got hearing problems sufficiently bad for this to be noticeable. And I imagine it's much the same in the US and indeed throughout the world.
So there's just too much music that is coming at us, whether we want it or not. We have lots of comments coming in on the soundcheck page at WNYC.org, and a number of calls coming in. Our number is 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. And our first caller, apparently, is my mom. Is that right? Lorraine from Queens. So, all right, I feel a little weird about this, but go ahead. Which side of the debate are you on?
Well, we love Christmas music here. I like to hear it in the stores after Thanksgiving, not before, thank you very much. And I like all our Christmas traditions that we have. Oh, there's another phone call here. I'll forget that one.
So, but what is it about? I mean, you know, Dr. Christmas telling us that, you know, this music was supposed to connect us to the past and
yes.
to each other. I mean,
well, our Christmas tradition of the Christmas pageant, where all the children and the adults too sing "Come All Ye Faithful," as the children are dressed in the costumes of the Christmas story. That is just a wonderful moment for us. And then on the other side, I like the 12 Days of Christmas when we bring out the mugs and all the adults groan, but everybody sings and we do that. I enjoy Christmas. It's our favorite holiday here.
And the music, an important part of it, obviously, around the
around
the Schaefer household. All right, Mom. Thanks. Thanks for calling in. Go grab that other call there. And we'll move on to Raleigh in Hartsdale. Raleigh, are you as big a fan of Christmas music as my mother is?
Can you put me on make me the next call? I'm just walking out of the library, and I'll get in trouble here.
What is it with these people? I mean, one calls in and has another call to take. Another one's leaving the library and can't talk. Dr. Christmas, Jerry Grzyb, you know, the idea of all this music being out there. You're doing wall-to-wall Christmas music at this time of the year, right, at WRSTFM?
Not quite.
How much is it?
I do 7 hours a day, but over the course of those times a week, and 1 week of it, I don't want to do anything any more of that. I couldn't stand it. But I will play in that course 150 new CDs.
Okay. So
it's literally a buyer's guide to the new Christmas CDs out here. Most of, about 90% of what I play, you wouldn't even find in the stores.
For those buyers who have 7 hours to spend with you.
You'd be amazed at the number that set their computer to tape it.
Okay.
Or to put it on hard drive, yep.
All right. Before we check in with the comments that are coming in on the website, let's see if we can get a caller who actually has time to speak with us. Peter in Brooklyn. Are you a fan of Christmas music?
Hi, John. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Christmas music, I'm an atheist Jew, and I really dig on the Christmas music. I mean, granted, if I listen to, you know, whatever it is, 106.7 all day, I kind of want to kill myself.
Right.
But I feel like, you know, if you walk into a store at any time of year, you walk into Urban Outfitters, for example, and there's some loud, jarring music on, it doesn't matter what time of year it is, that's being forced upon us. And that's a whole lot worse than Christmas music. And I got to tell you, I mean, there are a few songs that really sort of make my day. You know, I listen to Wham doing, you know, Last Christmas. It puts like a smile on my face. And,
uh-huh.
And Mariah Carey and doing All I Want for Christmas Is You. And, by the way, that song, that little girl from that movie, Love Actually, oh, my God, she rocks. You know, with it.
So, Peter...
And Celine Dion with her pipes doing Oh Holy Night. How can you not love that? I mean, but it like makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. It's awesome.
Okay. But there's no Hanukkah music that'll do the same thing for you?
Well, you know, not really. I mean, listen.
Okay. All right, Peter.
I'm married to a non-Jew, and as much as I want to share all the Hanukkah music I learned in Hebrew school with my daughter... it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Like, they definitely have it on us.
We have a record for you.
The holiday.
We have a record for you, Peter. Aaron Baron Cohen's Songs in the Key of Hanukkah. He was here in the studio last week. It's a lot of fun. You should check it out. All right, Peter, thanks for the call. Joel Meyer, Soundcheck producer, has been moderating your comments on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. How's it running there, Joel?
Well, John, I have to say that many of our commenters on the Soundcheck page would probably disagree with that last caller. Lots of negative feelings coming in, a lot of catharsis on the Soundcheck page. Anne from Manhattan says, please make it stop. It's just too much repetition, too much cheesy, oversimplified crap, she says. Now, I'm sort of responding to these and asking questions and posting my own remarks. And I asked Anne, I said, well, what's the most inappropriate place you've heard holiday music this season? So if you're in front of your computer, that's what we want to hear from you as well, is where are you hearing this stuff, and is it an appropriate place to hear it? I heard Christmas in the ATM lobby at Lafayette and Houston last weekend, and that's not a place for Christmas cheer at all. So that's
an ATM lobby? Maybe it makes you draw out more funds from the bank account.
But
I have to say,
John, as I'm looking at trends here and the comments that are coming in about our SmackDown today, there are two separate sub-SmackDowns going on. One is over the Vince Guaraldi album, A Charlie Brown Christmas, and Jeffrey from East Elmhurst basically saying, hey, Christmas is ruined. What is a really great jazz album? You're supposedly only supposed to listen to it in December. The other sub-SmackDown that is going on is over the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, a sort of rock orchestra that had a really big hit with this song, known as sort of a mashup of Carol of the Bells and God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. David Williams of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, loves this. He recommends it as something that you should listen to. But our listener Winston says if he has to hear it one more time, he's going to go postal. So he might be responsible for something now.
All right, well, we'll have to apologize to at least one of our Soundcheck listeners for that. Jerry Grazib is Dr. Christmas at WRST. I mean, do you play this stuff? Would you play the Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
No. For one thing, I'm lucky in that the really big labels look at little UW Oshkosh and go, you're not a big enough market for us. So they don't even send me that stuff. And that's all right with me. We had a chiropractor up the road in Appleton who had one of those light displays everybody's seen on YouTube now that's synchronized to music. It's exactly that TSO song. And I think his neighbors were going to put an end to his house or something like that if he kept it up. But if people like it, it's fine. I'm really not objecting to that. You know, again, going back to the comments that some of the people have been writing in and so forth, again, it's the context, it's the sometimes the particular performances that tend to be trivialized or turned into bouncy pop when they weren't that way to start with. You know, that's the stuff that's really objectionable. But Trans-Siberian Orchestra is fun for about 5 minutes.
Okay. Nigel, a quick question for you as well. Peter from Brooklyn made an interesting point. You know, there's background music all year long. At least around Christmas time, you're getting a different set of background songs than you do the other 11 months of the year. Isn't it, in a sense, kind of a break from the usual pop music?
Might be a break in one way, but I think we campaign against background music or forced music all the year round, not just at Christmas. We're not musical Scrooges, for heaven's sake. I love Christmas. Well, we're saying give people a break. And it is particularly bad in Britain and also in Austria. In Austria, some shop workers took a shop or a store, I don't know which it was actually, to court, and they forced them to stop playing the same very limited range of music again and again and again. It's obviously cheaper and easier to have a repetitive tape like that. It's certainly not something that Jerry would ever do, I know. I mean, I've been listening with great interest to him. I had no idea there was so much choice of music. Why they can't... But some people actually prefer to go shopping without any type of music, and I think their needs should be considered too. Those are particularly likely to be people with hearing problems, as I mentioned, also well, musicians of any type, they tend to listen to music, and if it's coming out of the walls, they find it difficult to just treat it as wallpaper. They actually start to listen
Nigel,
to it.
Nigel, I'm in exactly... I cannot have music on in the background because I end up listening to it. I understand exactly what you mean. Let's go back to the phones. Raleigh in Hartsdale. Raleigh, are you out of the library?
I am out of the library. Thanks for taking me back.
Okay, so pro or con for Christmas music?
Well, I think the earlier fellow said that he was an atheist Jew. I'm more of an anti-theist Jew who's actually ashamed. I grow more and more ashamed every Christmas that most of the Christmas songs are written by Jews. I find Christmas music stomach-turning. You mentioned that term before, and also I think another aspect of it is that it's a free commercial every year for religion, which I think is most sophisticated people realize by now is just a poison and a cancer on Earth. I mean, is there anything stupider than religion?
Well, there is a study that claims that of the top 25 Christmas songs on ASCAP's top 25 most performed Christmas songs, not a single religious song is there. It's all, you know, talking snowmen and jingling bells and reindeer games and stuff like that. Let's see what Bob in New Jersey has to say. Bob, what's your take on Christmas music?
Well, you know, you've got a variation of people here, and I'm actually pastor of a Christian church, and we're going to have a sing-along Christmas service on Christmas Eve, and not one of the songs that I would hear on the radio are we going to sing. Everything that we're talking about, like you said, is really secularized Christmas songs. They don't talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. They're talking about snowmen and Santa Claus and jingle bells. And you know, we do have this wallpaper of music in our world, and I can't think of a better, more positive sound than the tunes that we have at Christmas. They're uplifting, and especially with the chaos that's going on at malls, what better kind of music do we have to play in the background than uplifting, calming music like that?
All right, Bob. I'm going to give the last word once again to our producer, Joel, who's been with the listeners who've been commenting on the website at WNYC.org. We've had, gone from one end of the spectrum to the other just in the last couple of seconds with our callers, Joel.
Absolutely. I mean,
what's going on online?
Once again, the Soundcheck Smackdown has struck a nerve. This appears to be a very important topic to people. I have to say, I might have mischaracterized all of the comments as being negative on the site. There are some positive comments coming in, you know, sort of approving of Christmas music. And also, I might note some approval of John Schaefer's mother being a regular caller on Soundcheck. That's coming in as well, too. Our sub Smackdowns continue. Winston, who originally complained about the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, when I asked him why he thinks the Trans-Siberian Orchestra is so popular, I mean, John, they're huge, mm-hmm. huge concerts every year. He said they're popular because people find their music powerful and modern, but I find it soul-grinding. Give me the Hallelujah Chorus and some carolers. Also, our other sub-Smackdown on Vince Guaraldi's A Charlie Brown Christmas and when is it appropriate to use it. A listener who identified him or herself as Voter says that, you know, that record's okay. It's the stuff that gets really schmaltzy that's bad. Grandma gets run over by a reindeer, a cappella group, Streisand attacks us with her manic jingle bells.
A cappella groups, just all of them in general from around the world?
a little too much holly jolly repetition for me. So that was that was Voter from Brooklyn.
There are lots of comments on the website at WNYC.org. And Joel, you have a pick for us. But before you get to that, let me thank Dr. Gerard Grzyb, Dr. Christmas, the seasonal music coordinator at WRST-FM at the University of Wisconsin, and Nigel Rogers, who is National Secretary for Britain's Pipe Down International, on both sides of our Soundcheck Smackdown this afternoon. Nigel, Jerry, you've both been great sports. Thanks for being with us, and Merry Christmas to you both.
Merry Christmas.
All right, Joel, what do you got for us?
All right, John, I have to say, if I were to characterize all the comments on the site today, I think people like holiday music that is both creative and original. And when I tried to think of songs that met both of those characterizations, For me, it's Run DMC's Christmas in Hollis. This came out in 1987 on a compilation called A Very Special Christmas. It had cover art by Keith Haring on it. And here was the premier hip-hop group of the 80s wishing you holiday tidings. When I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park, I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my God, a ill reindeer. But then I was yelling, cause the man had a beard and a bag full of goodies, 12 o'clock at noon. So I turned my head a second and the man was gone. But he left his driver's wallet smack dead on the lawn. I picked the wallet up and then I took a pause, took out the lights and then Nicole said, Santa. All right, well, that's Joel's pick for Christmas music. We'll hear his pick for CD of the year along with the rest of our Soundcheck picks in just a moment. And then coming up a little later, we'll find out if holiday music was controversial back in the 13th century when a member of the group Lionheart shares medieval Italian Christmas songs with us. That's coming up in just a few minutes on Soundcheck.